Hello and welcome to the fourth Manx Footy Pod of the 25-26 season, brought to you in association with Jerry McGinn, Painters and Decorators. As always, I'm joined by Santa's Little Helpers, Disco Dave Norton.
Hi everyone.
And Tom Curfey.
Hello.
Right, this is almost our, I'm going to say festive special, but it isn't our festive special because Tom and former podcast great Sam Turton has done us a little Christmas quiz.
Yeah. I have to say, I can't take full credit for the questions. I sent the questions I had to Sam, and he said how much of this was done by AI. So Sam's thankfully jumped to the rescue and given us a few good rounds. It's a shame he can't be here, really, but it'd be lovely to get... The quiz did so well the other year, didn't it? Do you remember Sam did one?
Well, I feel a bit like a scorned lover. He's left us for another podcast.
He has, yeah. Which won't be mentioned.
Which, it's some sort of, what I believe, Blues Brothers tribute podcast, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
You have to wear shades and doors and stuff like that. So, yeah.
But Tom, you said the old quiz went well the other year. You completely lost your head, didn't
you? I did lose my head, yeah. I just remember it went well.
For this very trophy,
yeah. It went well for the viewers. It didn't go well down for me. I remember, yeah, there was some... Wasn't there some queries
there? Definitely some controversy with the answers,
I think we had four views on that one, so we definitely did
a particularly good one,
Right, before we look ahead to Boxing Day's World Cup final between Peel and Corinthians, I've got a couple of thank yous to do, a bit of administration at this time of year. We've had some last podcast, which we did in November.
Yes.
We put a Peel out for some merchandise to come and adorn our spare space in the podcast HQ. I'm delighted to say we're inundated with two messages. One of them actually came through Sam, which I thought was bizarre, because I'm hoping the person that had sent it in had actually clocked onto the fact Sam wasn't regularly on the podcast today, but obviously not. But anyway, the two people that got involved were, we've got this lovely Onken AFC hat. Well, it doesn't say AFC, it just says Onken. So
it just looks like an Onken commissioner's hat.
And I think it does. I think that makes it even more special if it's just a commissioner's hat. And then we've got this lovely thing here from Dave Matheson, as you could expect, was right in the DMs. You want to bring him forward?
Yeah.
So if you're watching this, if you're listening to this, sorry, on any of our audio streams across the many platforms there are for podcasts these days, I'd recommend you switch over to YouTube just briefly, just to have a quick look at this. What? How would you describe it, Tom?
I don't really know.
Just pad for me while I get a message from Dave, will you?
Well, I don't really know, but it is pretty creepy because I know it's been on your desk at work for a few weeks now, and I've gone over and been like, I just don't like it. It makes me feel a bit uncomfortable. That do you not agree, Dave? Do you think that?
Yeah, I don't know what vibe I'm getting off that, to be honest.
Do you know what the best thing is about that? You say it has been on my
The
messages.
Just click that one.
There you go. We felt like about 107 then. It has been sat on my desk, and I have deliberately not told people what it is. So they just thought I had this random.
I thought Andy had just got a new toy, really a face on it. Yeah.
So anyway, this Dave, as always, has sent some of the company notes. He says, for reference, the Teddy is D&D defender Sean Jones. When we went to Benidorm in 2022, he didn't go as he was going travelling with his girlfriend. Ah. So another D&D player, Daniel Kinley, brought the Teddy to keep us company in Benidorm. As everyone always said, just Sean was my favourite. Oh. You might remember me and Will Gavin talking about it when we were in last time.
Yeah, I think that was a great episode, to be fair.
I saw Will saw it won big on hitting it.
Did he?
Hitting it big, didn't he?
So that's probably his second achievement coming into the podcast.
I'll tell you what, DD's Christmas do is going to be good then if he's paying for that.
I also hope he's bought a square up at Noble
Park. Oh, brilliant.
Because he can certainly afford it now. Right, so that's...
Just before we move on, I have also had a message from Rob Stinger, the referee extraordinaire.
Oh, yeah.
He says he's going to drop off a referee's kit for us to hang up in here.
So you say to wear.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be quite nice. It wouldn't fit me, but you can do it, Tom.
I'm sure it'd fit me now.
And then I also, if you can see just behind me on my left, I brought something out of the Andy Dalrymple collection, which is a vintage Foxdale AFC t-shirt, which I think must be at least maybe 30 years old.
It's a great logo, their badge is great, isn't it? It's a mitre ball, isn't it?
It's
hilarious as well.
Yeah,
it does give me flashbacks to the Melio a couple of years ago where we actually paid for a new t-shirt for you, Andy.
Oh, right.
Off Baller. But given the drunken state of affairs by the end of the night, it got lost and it's somewhere.
Why is Andy Ball always at the root of all our problems?
Just blame Baller.
Always Andy Ball's fault.
Yeah. Blame everything. My wife's terrible Christmas present this year will be blaming Andy Ball. And she'll be like, who? Anyway, Wednesday, well, let's go back a couple of days. Wednesday evening, you had a lovely trip out, festive trip out.
It was really nice, actually, because so often I don't get to go to these type of games because I'm playing or watching around. So it's a nice midweek game. And there's been a lot of talk online since it, actually, to suggest that maybe the FA could do more games like that, especially the fact that it raised so much money for
Craig
Hartshorne Foundation, which was fantastic. And there was about 300 there, which is mental to me considering the weather. Yeah, it was absolutely pouring it down. I actually can imagine most of the interviews are done indoors, kindly thanks to the FA for allowing us to use it upstairs, and then a bit in the section where the players come in and out of. So it was really, really good. And I was really keen to go down because I think the Railway Cup's a really important competition anyway. I think it's one of the ones that I think when you're growing up as a kid, you kind of want to get your hands on. I still reckon it's the largest trophy in British Isles.
Football. I think it might be big. When it was refurbished a few years ago, I think it was converted.
Talk about this because that cost several tens of thousands to get removed.
Exactly, and then the game itself was pretty big anyway because Corinthians aren't far away from things like that. It's not a huge day for them, but for Onchan to first time in a Railway Cup semi final since 1939.
Hang on. So Eric Clegg has been in touch.
Oh no.
So he.
Stat alert.
There's been a bit of conjecture over this. So, yes, as you say, they were in it back in the 30s.
37, 38 season.
Yeah. But, according to Eric, they were back in the semi-finals in 65, 66 season when they lost to Old Boys.
But that was a different format of competition.
It was still a knockout competition, obviously, but it was slightly different to what it is
now. It
wasn't
just for the top four.
Yeah, I think so.
So what Eric's saying is Onchan have got their own history wrong. That's what he's telling them.
And anyone else, I would disagree, but it's Eric.
Exactly. I'm with him. Yeah. But it's still a huge day for Onchan, and the fact that they had that many fans out, I think it was a nice touch. Anyone in the Onchan top, there was a lot of people in the Onchan top, they paid for their dawn day.
I think it raised over £500 for Great.
Yeah, which is fantastic, isn't it? And it just shows that imagine there's more games on midweek. You know, people who have got their clubs on a Saturday can't necessarily get to the other games that they perhaps want to. There was loads of just football fans there, Manx football fans, in the pouring down rain, so it was nice to see.
Right, well, let's delve in. You, there's a host of clips coming at you now with various personalities of Manx football.
Yeah, not just people involved necessarily in the game in like a certain clubs, but I wanted to talk to Sam, to Dean, about their coverage of the game as well. I think it's good to get, and Hattie, of course, you know, they're the ones that are keeping us all informed throughout the year, so it's nice to chat with them. And I also asked them a bit of their predictions for 2026, and I asked for a bold prediction. Dean gave us a really interesting one. And then I also asked them about their favourite memory of 2025.
Right, well, let's have a listen to them now.
So, Sam, you're back on Manx Football Podcast right now. How does that feel?
Strange.
There is rumours that you've got a rival podcast, but we won't get into that. Not a rival one in terms of football, but more about general news. But let's not promote that here.
What, the Manx Top News?
not interesting. But
you get mentioned quite a lot.
I do tune in fairness, if I'm being honest, but don't tell that to Dion. But the main reason I've got you on is you're actually from Onchan, and I want to. You did a story today. I saw about how big this game is for Onchan, and I want to try and understand because. I saw that it was 1939, the last time they were in a Railway Cup semi-final.
Technically, I think Onchan were beaten in the Railway Cup. Railway Cup games.
Well, I wanted to know how big of an honour this is for the Onchan lads to come to someone like this.
It's clearly really big. You know, you've got Reese on the door there, checking people in with the money going to charity. You've got a lot of people turned out. You've got David Quirk down there fighting with Hattie over who's going to take the best pictures. It's Hattie, you look at him over there, he's already wearing blue jeans and that, he's absolutely bucking it down.
They won't be blue at the end of the night.
No.
And
then that dark patch is the rain, but I'm suspicious.
I'm sure Hattie will tune in as well, I'd be delighted to hear this. But this is our Christmas special episode this will be going out in. So it's more, not just this game, which is obviously huge, and I love the fact that it's midweek, you know, I know it's called off and stuff, but the weather's not helped. I'm sure the attendance will be a lot bigger at the ball tonight if the rain wasn't so bad, but I kind of want to have
there's no curry on either, so I don't know what people are doing.
But what are they up to? But I want to know a more broader look back at 2025 in terms of Manx football. Is there any standout moments for you that you think has been a massive moment in Manx football this year?
I think Peel winning the league was obviously another one, because you know they've gone so long without a title, so then to win it twice in 3 years is big for them. I think obviously FC Armand, we've had quite a lot of change, obviously Paul left and Rick's come in. as the caretaker who's sort of still hanging around.
Yeah, what does caretaker mean?
Well, we couldn't decide on a title. It was interim or caretaker, and it was caretaker they went with.
Okay.
And then
I love that classic Manx football, like not just Manx football, football in general line of caretaker. It's like what?
It's one for the footy cliches, by the way.
Yeah.
Adam Horry, if he wants to give me a shout out,
well, I'd love
they
that.
Do a thing where they face other like podcasts in like quizzes.
Okay.
I mean, I think you should do it.
That'd be amazing. Imagine Dave Norton versus him.
Exactly.
Some of them no one would watch, but it'd be interesting for us. So then, looking ahead to 2026, then. Is there anything that you're particularly looking forward to in terms of Manx football? Is there anything you think...
The title race at the top is going to be really interesting.
Oh, obviously, the result of the other night.
You know, Peel blew Corinthians away at the weekend. You've got that to look into. You've got basically whether Peel can sustain a challenge, because they had a lot of difficult start to the season at the club, and also got a lot of difficult sort of personal circumstances around obviously what happened at the club.
Yeah.
And it'll be very interesting how Peel deal with that. I think you can't count Laxey out just yet.
No. They got a great result against Ayr as well, 2-2. To come away with a point there, up at Ayr, is not bad.
Yeah, I mean, you can't come back from Ayr feeling disappointed not winning, but I think Laxey needed a win, really, to keep it up. Onken probably just, they're a bit like Aston Villa, they're not going to have enough to sustain a title challenge.
I'm convinced they're going to be there until the end of the season then.
They're not going to finish above City.
I like Morgan Rodgers though. I think he's got player of the year ability in him. I think he'll be towards the end of the season, I think he'll be spoken about in terms of PFA player of the year
probably. Yeah. I mean, then you look at Div 2, it's basically done.
Yeah,
I think Mourad are the only one. You've got that many games in hand because you're crap pitch.
Hang on a second.
Got to recover.
That's one thing I would agree with. The pitch has actually been all right this season, but we do have a lot of games in hand, and Mourad, I think, will be in and around there at the end of the season. But then, as we've seen with many former podcasts, if I got all my predictions correct, Mourad would have won everything ever. So,
well, yeah, they did really well at the Club World Championship, didn't they? It's,
yeah.
Actually, Div 2 is just sort of like, you know, Castown and Colby just absolutely stolen away with it.
Yeah.
I think Castown will probably have just enough to get over the line.
They're a huge club as well.
Easily Colby could win that division.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised at how Rycop have dropped off this year.
Yeah, I thought they'd be
a lot closer.
Yeah.
But them two have just stormed out of it. And I think realistically you've got that many games standing around. First team, not yourself. I've got a good chance of creating a bit of an issue there, but you're going to have to win. You've got to go away and win at Castletown.
Yeah, which is tough.
But also, you've got that third game in the league this year.
Which is no
which
one
is going to cause chaos.
People keep forgetting that. Because we've played Geordies 3 times now.
Yeah, so some of these games have been played.
Yeah.
But then there'll be a couple at the end of the season which haven't. And
we've not played Royals, but we've played Geordies 3 times. It doesn't make sense how it's going to work.
The wild card of the greatest division in European football.
And I'm hoping to grab Mepi shortly to talk about the fact that how happy he is to get 2 weeks off.
Mepi,
I can. Do you know what Tony Meppham says?
He's Mr. President.
sorry. I'll call him by his proper title.
Call Donald Trump Trumpy.
I might do. Yeah, if I ever get lucky enough to interview Donald Trump. Although, saying lucky enough, he's not on my top 5 people to interview. My, you know who is?
Me, apparently.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, you were last resort. You're the only person I could grab. Jeremy Clarkson's one I'd love to do.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he'd give me the time of the day, but he'd be good. I want to know what happened with his house up there, man. You know, were people looking into his home or something?
That's Julie Blackburn.
Yeah,
I'm sure those people who are involved in that.
Okay, well, that's generally one of the other reasons. So all these Top Gear things he's done, all these mental farming things he's done, that's one of the only reasons I want to talk to Jeremy Clarkson about his Manx issues, because I believe he doesn't like the other man, or he said it somewhere. He's not a fan of the other man anymore, anyway.
No, I mean, it's not surprising, really.
But I wonder if he's a fan of the Burnley Cup.
Probably, yeah, because after all, as we said, it is the biggest, we believe it's the biggest trophy in British football.
But when I say that to people, they think I mean the biggest in terms of ever, like you know, stature. I mean, like, largest. Yeah, I mean largest.
That's why you've got to have, like, a captain. You know, it takes a lot of strength to win the Railway Cup. Because if you had, like, you know, you captain... And
his arms wouldn't lift it, yeah.
Well, you need people like Matty Woods and Sean Kelly to get lifted.
Well, exactly. And I'd love to speak to them as well about what it feels like to lift it. Because I think that's the big one. You kind of want the Railway Cup.
Well, I wonder what it does to their Christmas days. Because, like, you know, if you don't have any, like, Christmas dinner, it's like, you know, 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The one day of the year we all, for some reason, eat fucking lunch at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it's sort of like, well... You're then on the booze, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because normally, I mean, there's no sound of music on this year.
No.
Not on anywhere on British TV is sound of music, which I think is a travesty.
Yeah.
Because normally I'm a few drinks down by lunchtime and I've had a bit of a snooze watching sound of music.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have that this year.
Okay.
But then, like, you know, in the evening you have a few drinks again, don't you? And you're watching crap TV.
Exactly.
From, like, 1970.
Do they have to stay off the ale, I wonder? Their managers are surely demanding.
Yeah. I can't imagine them doing the bassy and going around the house and check, like.
Yeah, they're not checking. But I still think, like, I love how it falls on Boxing Day, though. Do you know what I think? It makes
fantastic,
it special.
Yeah, it's really one. It's a really good sort of, it's a good one for people to get out to. And, you know, you've seen in previous years, it's really well supported as well. Just as, like,
yeah.
It's a bit of awkward fans over here, you know.
Yeah.
You've seen in previous years of Ramsey where they brought down Boogie Coat, literally a double-decker bus for people.
that's the thing. They're still hugely important. The fact that this is a semi-final and there's that many people still in the rain watching us is pretty impressive anyway.
Yeah.
Well, apart from, well, most people stood under the shelter. Hattie is
obvious. I mean, it's a big test to Ben Quatro's green team, especially because, you know, can they do it on a wet and windy night at the ball?
Well, we'll soon find out. They are currently 1-0 up. We're missing the entire game during this.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just finally then, a bold prediction for 2026. Something that you think is going to happen in Manx football that perhaps not many people would say.
I think the split might finally happen.
Oh.
Yeah, I think Dave and Andy are finally going to go their ways. Dave's going to set up a rival podcast.
That'd be amazing.
Just called the Norton Cast.
I think just Dave reads the weather, but he just does a weather pod, and he just goes to different forecasters.
And also, Norton antivirus software could be the perfect sponsor.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
So yeah, I think that could finally happen. And away from that, I think FC Mamo have a probably pretty good second half of the season. I reckon they'll finish inside the top 10-12.
Because there was fears of relegation, wasn't there?
I think there were, yeah, there were genuine sort of concerns, but I think things have turned up a lot. Also, factor in that we've got a lot of players back, we've got a lot of home games that we've played where we haven't had a great home record of the year. But players have come back in and things have changed a little bit and how the team's sort of going at things. And, you know, sometimes things just have to change a little bit for things to refresh, and that's what happened. And,
yeah,
going forward, it'll be interesting how that plays out. In terms of local football, I think I'm going to tip Castan to win Division 2, Colby to win the World Cup.
I love how you find all these predictions out. It's so early.
I'm going to say Peel will just nick the Premier League. I'm going to turn this round tonight, so we'll see how well it comes.
Goes. Okay.
And I'm going to say Laxey will win the Hospital Cup.
They love the Hospital Cup, they do.
They love the Hospital Cup, they're very Hospital Cup side.
They are.
And the FA Cup will be a surprise winner.
Moran.
I'm going to say that surprise winner is Castletown.
What? A Div 2 team?
Div 2 team will win, yeah.
See, that's what I was wanting, you know, the line. That's going to be in the paper tomorrow, you know. Sam Turton predict. Yeah, that's what I needed, the hook. Okay, well, you heard it here first. Castletown are going to win the FA Cup this year, and I'm going to turn it around tonight. It remains 1-0 Corinthians, but by the time you're watching this, we'll know the result, won't they?
Well, you can have the highlights as well, because it's up on the camera.
Oh,
amazingly, it is Laxey's logo, and for people
to see blame this guy.
Because I wasn't looking when I was looking at
Sam, will you have to move your thing, please?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Turn it over to here.
Yeah.
That's, no, I'm sorry. I'll come and get it in a second.
Okay.
Well, we're all my football legend, Jane.
Thank you.
Hang
on, talk. Say hi, Jane. I'm glad I stopped recording then. You're clearly a man of the people, Dino. But tell us, 2025, I think upfront footy's really taken off. And I personally love it. I think that's my go-to for the leagues, for the results at the end of the week. How have you found it, first of all? Because it's a lot for a one-man job.
Average, Tom. Average. Turn up every week, get the stuff out there. And yeah, it's my way of staying afoot, mate. I've said it before, but I like to be honest about Manx football. I don't think I ever shy away from anything.
Mm.
And people appreciate it. So yeah. That's what I keep doing, keep people accountable for what they're doing. And you know, sometimes it does drive change. It might not see it, and you might not see it on the front end, but there's people in places, you know, things I get told and the messages I get sent every week. People might think I'm not in the nose such on a lot of things, but I can tell you now there's a lot of bank things that will be coming out.
Yep.
And there's a lot of news coming out, and some things that will maybe upset a few people, but I'm not doing it on purpose. It's what people want to hear, and it's just facts.
Yeah.
Everything's evidence-based. I've got the evidence there, and I'll always back it up. So.
I think it's clear you're not one to shy away from like making a headline or or calling things out that you don't think are right.
No, it's one man's opinion. If you don't like my opinion, I'm man enough to say you've got your own one. That's it.
You can always unfollow as well, can't you? If you're not happy with the content, no one's forcing you. Sorry, mate. Slinger, you get through, mate. I'll grab you after. Hope you heard that. Well, Dino, I just want to ask you then, 2025, there's loads gone on amongst football, good and the bad, but I want to hear your highlight, your favourite part of the year. Is there anything that stands out for you?
Do you know what? It's been loads, mate. It's been loads. It's good to see. I think the highlight for me is obviously the Pink Bandits.
Yeah.
The Pink Bandits are the absolute highlight for me, mate. everyone knows where Robin live, and the highlight for me is, has anyone else in Manx football had a full football club go out dressed as them for their Christmas party?
It's an honour, that, isn't it?
Has anyone ever done
that? I don't think so. I can ask Andy and Dave, because if anyone has, they have, but I doubt it. I highly doubt it.
That's a highlight for me.
Yeah.
Them boys know, you know, it is with Jess that I'm saying it, but I'm only saying what people are thinking.
Yeah, and I think it when I'm playing against them in the combi.
Everyone does, yeah.
And again, looking ahead to 2026, then exciting times. I think Liam's just told me that the referees are looking forward to 2026. I'm not entirely sure that's true. But
definitely not looking forward to being 2026, are
they? That's an exclusive there. Dean's going to call you out. But anyway, have you got anything you're specifically looking forward to, or any bold predictions for the new year?
I just want to see the game grow, mate. I want to see it get going. I want to see Manx football get better.
Mm-hmm.
Men's and women's senior football, I think the women's game's coming on a fair bit. But they're still struggling for numbers. Like, you know, what can people do? How can they develop it? That's a massive one for me. I'd love to see that come on. Like, I've watched a game every week in women's football this 2025-26 season, and they're doing well, mate, but the numbers are crap. Like, let's be honest about it. Like, let's not shy away from it. And they need to do something about it. And they need to look at restructuring that, or how they do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you're doing a lot of work for that, I have to say. That's a great thing. I've noticed, I'm sometimes there on a Sunday in my pit hungover, and I'm thinking, how can he be asked down there? But it's brilliant that you're doing that, I think.
Yeah, and it's good. And Hattie's out there as well. We're just getting out there, you know.
Yeah.
Like, Hattie does a lot of work for me. I've jumped out of the season on there.
Yeah.
Bold prediction for 2026 is, I think Paul Rose combination are going to go the full season unbeaten.
Oh.
And if they do, I will go on record, because I know the Island FA won't buy them on, I'll get them a gold trophy.
A gold trophy coming their way if they don't lose a game.
If they don't lose a game,
yeah.
So they don't have to win every game.
Yeah, but they just don't lose one.
If they go invincible, don't lose a game all season, I will buy them a gold trophy.
I love it.
And I will present it to them wherever they go for a bevy, down the Pinewoods.
Yeah.
On a Saturday night, after they lift that trophy, I'll go in there with a gold one and give them it.
I'll come along and get the footage of that, yeah, Dean, that's
and,
a promise.
And I'll speak to Mo Powers, and I'll speak to the McGinns, you know, yeah, anyone that's involved with it. And Mark O'Neill there, who's managing them, is doing a class job.
Yeah.
He doesn't get enough mentions in the papers and stuff. I'm doing a half-season review at the moment, I'm writing it, and he's going to get a mention in that.
Brilliant.
And the boys are there, and, you know, he's getting helped out with a lot of the boys. I think that's going to be my bold prediction, that they go unbeaten.
Our sponsors will be made up with that, the McGinns painters and decorators, they'll be happy.
By the way, I'm not having commentator's curse on that, so yeah.
It's your fault if it doesn't happen now, yeah. Do you know, thank you very much. I'll let you go back to the game, top man.
Sorry, John.
Come on, Jay, get in here. Help me out.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Mips, I want to ask, 2 weeks you're going to get off for Christmas. I hope you're going to get off. No fixture planning. Are you excited for that, first of all?
I am, but there are fixtures to plan out. We've got now the Railway Cup. We know the two teams we've got, so Peel against Corinthians.
Yeah.
Then we've got to look at the ECAP FA Cup, which is on the 3rd. And then we've got to try and squeeze some of these rearranged fixtures in, and obviously the third block of fixtures from the Division 2.
Yeah, how much of a nightmare is it all? Is it a big
one? It is now.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, we're probably about 70 fixtures behind, which is not a good place to be.
No.
So there's going to be a lot of games towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
But there's nothing we can do with the weather, and, you know, the decision to play the third game in Division 2, I know I keep getting sort of asked, why did it happen? The clubs wanted it. Most of the clubs asked for it. Out of the 10, I think 7 said yes. So
it's the majority.
We're here to go with the clubs,
yeah.
And let's face it, we all want to play football or watch football.
Exactly. And just finally then, 2025, you've got a highlight in Manx football. Is anything that stood out for you? Anything that in particular over the past year that you've been particularly enjoyed?
Probably the Island Games. I think it's a turning point for the men, turning point for the women. With having Chris Bass in, I think he did a great job. And just, we want to sort of get him signed up. He's not quite signed the contract yet, so I can understand. But we've got to see how far the money can go, because it's not an endless pot.
No.
And as the women have done, as you've seen, there's so many good young women coming through.
Yeah.
And Wayne Lacey is a tremendous manager to have, so that's good side. All we want to do is concentrate on the league side. We want to make sure that next year we've got 13 teams in the Division 2 and Combi 2, and we want 13 teams in the Premier League and the Combination 1, not like we've got at the moment. It's very, very disjointed.
Have you got a bold prediction for 2026? I've been asking everyone this tonight. I think Dean Turton told me that he thinks Castletown will win the FA Cup, a Div 2 side. Sam Turton predicted that Pulley Combi will go the full season unbeaten. Have you got any bold prediction for 2026 you can give us?
I'd go with Pulley, because I think they've looked pretty strong. I watched them recently against Royal and did well.
Yeah.
I think Peel have showed their mettle now. I thought that result against Corinthians showed that they're not going to give it away.
They expected that, did they? So
well, he didn't. And from what I heard, you know, Peel probably played 20% above, yeah, and Corinthians 25% below. But that's the character of Peel. They're a really good side. Peter's done a great job. Great players in there.
Yeah.
And let's face it, you'd pay money to watch Thomas Brown play.
He would. So, brilliant,
isn't he? I think Peel are slight favourites for the league, but we'll see how Corinthians do, because obviously Sean Dawes back fit, Mahoney's back in the squad. There's one or two others coming back as well. Danny Gerrard was in the squad last week, and also Ronan McDonald's not far away from fitness. So it's looking good for Corinthians, but then you can't forget Laxey. I know they've dipped a little bit at the moment, and look out for St Mary's, because I think they can cause a few problems.
Oh, and it all sets itself up for Boxing Day then. It's an exciting time, isn't it?
I love it. I've been involved in Manx football for over 40 years now, and I've been down here on Christmas days and Boxing Days clearing the pitch from snow and everything else, and it's just a special day for me because I think it's one of the best finals in Manx football, and also it's the time of year because we always have a good crowd and then we can all go and have a beer afterwards.
Merry Christmas, Tony.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much, top man,
for all you do.
Cheers, thank you. Reactions, another final.
Yes,
how does that feel, first of all?
Very happy, mate, very happy. Lads were excellent. Andy Gosnell's a bit of a whopper, isn't he, to be fair, but no, lads were excellent. Obviously Saturday was horrible.
Yeah.
Needed a good response. Lads have knuckled down Saturday, Monday, and done a good job today.
And all set up for a good day on Boxing Day.
That's just what we needed after last week. So yeah, we'll see. It should be a good game on this pitch.
Yeah.
Bit of rain like this, I think it's gonna be a decent game.
How do you think Onken got on today? Obviously last year they were in a relegation battle and now they're in the Railway Cup semi final. It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
It's brilliant, isn't it, to be fair. I talked to Gosney in the summer, I said if they can, they've got this like nastiness about them as a group of lads, and if they can bring that on the pitch and they keep it competitive, that suits them really well. And it's good. You want teams with different ways of playing and different things, so yeah, absolutely.
And just finally then, predictions for 2026, what are you hoping for, Corinthians?
Go Boxing Day first, must be from there, you're not getting me with that one.
A lot gets spoken about referees. Where do you think the current situation is with their refereeing on the Isle of Man?
It's definitely in a strong position than we have been recently. Obviously start of the season we had a couple of issues. Since then we've had quite a few games with assistant referees, some down to the pitches being off, but also down to availability back where it should be. We've obviously had people injured and stuff like that, and just general day-to-day unavailability. We've had a lot of junior league covered, which is good to see. We've got another 11 coming through the course recently that we held, so we're getting them through. So after Christmas we've got another two or three supporting senior football, we've got another half a dozen or so going into junior football, support junior football, so we should be in a good place.
Overall positive then?
100%.
Happy days, I'm glad to hear that. And finally then, I just want to ask you, have you got a specific memory of not maybe just refereeing but in Manx football in 2025, anything that stands out for you?
I think there's quite a lot. I think with your own personal achievements, refereed a cup final, being assistant referee on two cup finals, your own personal award of assistant referee of the year.
Do you award yourself that?
not quite. It's got chosen for me. But you know, personal stuff, obviously. But then, obviously, seeing likes of referees coming through, the work that we're doing behind the scenes of junior refereeing. So there's quite a few active in there now. But I think likes of Onken staying in Premier League and now being Railway Cup.
Here they are in the semi-final, first time since 1939.
Unfortunately for losing.
Yeah.
Hopefully Stu can bring us to two or three goals. might go ahead again.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, seeing, you know, Manx football's getting a better position, I think.
I'm glad to hear it. And just finally then, 2026, anything you're looking forward to specifically? Anything that people can be excited by?
Hopefully. Yeah. On the Railway Cup final on Boxing Day. But I think it's just a great season ahead for everyone, I think.
Fantastic.
I think a lot of leagues are quite competitive at the minute.
Yeah.
Top three or four in the Premier League, and then you've got Four Rose Combination unbeaten, you've got Div 2 that's quite tight at the top, so bottom of the Premier League is quite tasty.
Yeah.
So hopefully,
yeah,
towards the end of the season,
it could all be tight. Yeah. And just finally, then, sorry, I know it's said finally, but one word answer here. Your favourite football club to referee on the Isle of Man? Have you got one?
Oh.
Have you got one?
Corinthians.
Cup of tea.
I like it.
I would say a Cornish pasty, but that would be quite
heavy. Perfect. Top man, Liam. Thank you very much. First question is your favourite moment covering Manx football in 2025, this past year. Have you got any standout moments?
Yeah, it has been a standout moment. Being at the Orkney Island Games 2025 with the women's team, we're just 2 minutes away from winning the gold medal. But we finished with another medal, silver medal. And for the men's, it's an upward trajectory for them under the caretaker management of Chris Bass Jr., where they finished, I think, finished ninth. 2 years previous in Guernsey, they finished with a bronze medal. So that, for me, improvement regarding the national team, onwards and upwards for them. And we'll see what happens in Faroes 2 years' time from now.
Absolutely. It's already exciting, isn't it?
It is.
Just finally then, 2026, have you got any bold predictions or anything you're particularly looking forward to?
What I'm looking forward to, I'll be looking forward to reporting a women's team in national team again, reporting on them in the Cherry Godfrey Cup to see if they retain it. But from a club level, I think it's hard to say at the moment. It's difficult because I'd say probably Corinthians and Peel are probably two top teams at the moment. However, there always tends to be a likelihood about teams playing better in the second round of league fixtures, because I'd probably expect the likes of maybe like St Mary's, Rushen, maybe Ramsey to be amongst the cups, at least FA Cup and the Hospital Cup, because Ramsey proved that they won the Hospital Cup twice in the two previous seasons. But I think Peel and Corinthians are setting the standard this year.
Absolutely. And just finally, then, Hattie, Merry Christmas and thanks for all you do in Manx football.
Right, thank you.
Top man. Thank you very much. Cheers, Hattie.
Well, that was very interesting, Tom. I'm glad you didn't get too wet.
I did. I kept relatively dry, but I really appreciate all the people speaking to us. I basically threw a camera in Sam Turton. He wasn't as keen as.
Did you see it coming? Did he have his sunglasses on? No.
Sorry, Sam. He eventually willing to talk. Dean was always willing to talk. He's big things clearly coming in 2026, as he alludes to. It was really, really interesting. Really appreciated everyone giving us their time, and yeah, it was good fun.
And you spoke to Ben Qualtro, obviously the manager of the winning Corinthians team. They won 4-1 in that semi-final to book their place in next week's final with the Peel. Obviously, Dave, they go into this match having only played in the league last weekend.
Yeah.
And a result that probably no one saw coming.
5-0 to Peel. What a result that was. But as Ben says in that interview there, they knuckled down since that defeat. And you know, they had that response in the semi-final, which is exactly what they were looking for. So that will have given them a bit more confidence back, I think.
Yeah, and will they have the likes of Joe Middleton playing on the Boxing Day? Will FC Alman have a game?
I don't know. I haven't had TV news yet, so that'd be interesting.
Yeah. I've got a game scheduled for 27th.
So maybe not. But I don't know. But all I'm saying is Corinthians, they had a stronger squad than they out on against Onken. In fairness to, I just want to quickly, on the semi-final, at 2-1, Corinthians were winning. I think there's a Stonewall penalty for Onken that could have changed the game. Stewie might think differently. He obviously didn't give it. But as the Onken fans were really, really loudly appealing. And I think if that goes 2-2, goes at half-time 2-2, I think there's a chance Onken could get back into it. But Corinthians kind of ran away with it. I think it'll be a tough one for Corinthians to deal. I think Peel will be bound up for it.
Peel, although I have to say, I read Dave's excellent piece in the back of the Examiner, next, the joint edition next week, that Woodsy's already put in a note of caution. We know it's not going to be another 5-0. You know, it's going to be a lot tighter than that.
Yeah.
But you still think Peel favourite?
Yeah, I do. I think I back Peel only. I think I was speaking to Jason Chalmer a little bit after the game. Sadly, didn't get him on record. But he was saying to me that I just think that front three of Peel scare me. Yeah, and I think Mepi points out in the thing, it's a joy to watch Thomas Brown play football. And I think if you're a betting man, just to suggest that Thomas Brown's going to get it's just a given.
I watched him against Slaxey in a league a few weeks ago, and he got a hat trick.
But in fairness to him, that is against Cam Avery, so
no comment. Blame his tash. Tom is just he's a ridiculous player, isn't he?
I think he'll have something to say, and I can see him having another trophy by the end of it. But this Corinthians side, it's mental. Luke Murray seems to be playing in a further back role, like a midfield role on Wednesday.
Done that a few times this season.
And it really worked, but In fairness, if he didn't play there, if you couldn't squeeze him in there, you've got Sean Doyle, Joe Middleton can play up top. It's an amazing array of attacking talent. Dan Simpson was a joke. Like, I remember watching on Wednesday, and every time he got the ball, I was thinking, what would I do if I was the fullback? And I'd have just gone off and tried a cup of tea. Honestly, there's nothing you can do. When he's running at you, it's one of the scariest players, I think, to try and get the ball off. So, yeah. I think Peel just, though, it won't be a 5-0, but I think Peel will just get it.
Dave?
Yeah, it's not going to be another 5-0. I actually, it's going to the full distance. I'm going to sit on my
120 heads. Minutes.
Yeah. Wow. Penalties, even. We'll see. I think Peel will just edge it in the end, but I do think it's going to go the full distance.
I'm going to go Crindon.
Oh.
I think they will have been stung, as Ben alluded to. Mm. I feel like it was going almost too well. You know, they haven't tasted defeat prior to last Saturday. I think this will be a timely kick up the derriere. So I just think they'll be back at it. I think it'll be a great game of football. If I wasn't playing rugby, I'd be going down to watch. Yeah. Just because, you know, that's how man I am these days.
The fact that it's on a bigger pitch at the ball will suit Corinthians.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Even though it was a home game they played against Peel, I think it'll benefit them playing at the ball. They looked so good on it on Wednesday night. The second half, when they'd already more or less confirmed the win against Duncan, they were just knocking the ball around so well. I think a bigger pitch I think it'll help them. I think it'll be tight, but as I say, Peel just edge it. But I think it'll be a big turnout there on Boxing Day. I hope so, yeah.
There's a festive treat for all here now. It's going to be Andy reads the weather.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Dave's bottled the weather this week. He said that Ron's way wouldn't give him up-to-date statistics for next Friday. It will be Boxing Day. But I have gone to the BBC, other websites are available, and it says sunny intervals and a moderate breeze, which suggests to me perfect conditions for association football.
Yeah.
It'll still be absolutely Baltic at the bowl, no doubt. So wrap up warm, you go and kick off 2 p.m.
2 p.m.
And Nepi did a great advert for the game when I spoke to him earlier. He just said how lucky we are that we've got a Boxing Day treat of two of the best teams on the Isle of Man.
Well, this is the final level we kind of expect.
This is what I mean, yeah. And no disrespect to Onkelos and all that, but you kind of do want to see the two heavyweights go head to head. I know it was 5-0 last week, but I think we want to see the best of the best play against each other, and be interesting.
So that's, as I say, 2 p.m. Friday, December 26th at the National Stadium, the Bowl. Get yourselves down there.
Can they drink on Christmas Day is the question. Can any of them players have a few drinks on Christmas Day?
I would say no. Although I did notice an interesting thing from the adjacent aisle this week. Nigel Clough, long-time manager of Mansfield Town, apparently he's given his players Christmas Day off the last couple of years and they've played better as a result.
Wow. On Boxing Day?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, obviously that's the... there's always the tired sort of trope at this time in the professional game, we have to train Christmas Day. Mm. It must be hard for you, but I'm sure the thousands and thousands of pounds you get every week in remuneration, you take the edge off that.
Exactly.
But he said he gives his squad the day off, so I don't know. Will Ben Qualtro, will Peter Kenyuk be ringing up the houses and going, how many have you had?
I just say, why are they looking through the window?
Is that a brewery move?
I can see Dave Brewery doing it. The first new player.
The other thing that Woodsy told me, which didn't make it into the print, was the fact that all the players are going to the Whitey tomorrow night as part of a bit of a team bonding and a kind of festive thing. So they might get it all out of the way.
Is that 6 days out?
Yeah.
That's
What's their plan there? I think that's just an excuse. Yeah, let's go and do some team bonding. Let's get 10 pints of this.
Right, well, we'll see which pre-match strategy shapes up the best after next Friday. Just before we go, just as I mentioned at the start of the podcast, we are recording a Christmas quiz special for the four of you that enjoyed it last season. The season before.
We were absent last year.
That will be available on all good and even some bad podcast platforms in the not too distant future. So keep an eye on it for that. I think we'll just say farewell and have a good Christmas.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to our sponsors as well.
Yeah, thanks to Jerry. It's been great having you on board this season and getting us back on the I'm going to say the airwaves, but that's a bit of an old school reference. It's good. Have a great new year. Hope you get the 3 points you all want, wish and deserve. And
round middle boy.
We'll be back after the Christmas special in 2026 with the same old
Tripe.
Well, until then,
ta-ta for now.
Wonderful.
Finish it. Right, can you edit that?
Yeah.
It is amazing.